Mitchell's going down.
Mitchell's still taking notes over here. He's getting ready.
Don't look at my note.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Barnes Bullet Points Podcast. I'm your host, Dale Evans. Today, I've got Mitchell Cookson to my right and Greg Sloan to my left. And we are on episode 11 of the Barnes Bullet Points Podcast. It got here quick, but right here before hunting season, we wanted to have a nice, friendly debate with these two fellas to my left and right. Today, we want to talk about making the choice to hunt elk or deer. You only get one tag this season. Which one do you want to have in your pocket? Mitchell, what tag would you like to have in your pocket?
It's got to be an elk tag.
An elk tag.
For sure.
I guess that leaves Greg with a deer tag.
That leaves me with a deer tag. And deer, I'm going to go mule deer specifically.
Oh, mule deer specifically. See, I was going to...
We could leave it open.
You could have left it open because now that could leave you a lot more country hunt.
That's true.
But we can get into that as we debate this.
All right.
All right. I'm going to give Mitchell... I'll give you 3 minutes. You think you can sum up why you want to hunt elk this year in 3 minutes? Go.
It's gonna be hard to do in 3 minutes.
This is your opening statement here.
Opening statement.
You have 3 minutes to give me why you want to hunt elk this year.
What about every year?
Every year, sure. 3 minutes.
Elk are—they're just majestic. They're big. They scream at you. They make noise. You can call them in. They're easier to find. Just the color of them. They're in groups. The size of them. They're easier to spot. It's with deer hunting. I'm not a patient person. So elk hunting is very active, especially in September. You can call them in. You can go run around. You're always doing something, trying to find them. With deer, it's just kind of you sit and you glass and you glass and you glass, and then you see one. It's a little deer. And with elk, the other cool thing about elk, any elk is a trophy. I don't care if it's a raghorn, it's a big 6-point. Especially on an over the counter unit, you see a antlered elk, it's getting pounded. And that's the cool thing about an elk is even raghorns are trophies. And I feel like deer, you can generally find 2 points, 3 points, even little 4 points. And I don't know, it's just not as much of a trophy for me. And elk are better, they're cooler, they're bigger. You get more meat out of them. When you cut up your steaks and your roasts, you actually get a chunk of meat. That's normal with a deer, it's like this little teeny slab of of meat, and that's like, okay, I'm eating a baby steak.
Okay.
But they're just cool. I don't know. I grew up in the Midwest, and that was always the goal. Like, someday I'll be able to do an elk hunt. That'll be my once-in-a-lifetime animal, and you can hunt elk every year, and you can hunt multiple states every year for elk. I mean, you could have 2-3 elk tags in your pocket dang near every year, and there's a lot more opportunity than deer. That's the other cool part about it.
To play a little bit of devil's advocate before Greg jumps into this, you said that there's more opportunity to hunt elk every year than deer. Mm-hmm. Remember that we did not specify the species of deer. Therefore, you could hunt...
Whitetails are boring.
You could hunt blacktail.
No.
In multiple different states, you could hunt multiple different subspecies of blacktail. You could hunt coos deer. You could hunt whitetail. You could hunt mule deer. So... thank you, Mitchell, for your 2 minutes of your opening statement.
You just lost.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's multiple opportunities. Yeah. Greg, I'll give you 2 minutes since that's what he ended up using.
Okay.
To make your opening statement of why you should pick deer over elk.
Deer over elk. So I'll leave it open. I think that's wise, but I am going to mostly focus on mule deer
because
that's what I love. Yep. That's what I know.
And you're in Utah.
And I'm in Utah. Yeah, there's no whitetail here.
It's basically the, like, state animal, right?
Yeah, and there's probably like one of the only states that doesn't really have whitetail. So
very small portion. I was doing some research like back when we were trying to, you know, come out with harvest and all that type of stuff. And I was like, they say that there is a very, very small portion in the very northeast corner of Utah.
Yeah.
It's basically overlap coming from Wyoming, right? Is why. But anyway.
Yeah. So mule deer or deer, I think it gives one that I think they're better because it's what most of us hunt, right? It's what we know. But at the same time, mule deer and trophy mule deer, Mitchell brought up trophies, so I'm gonna start right there. Nothing to take away from a big mature elk, because they're awesome too. But most people, most mule deer, again, hunters, and even whitetail, you can make that argument. Most people could hunt deer their entire lives and never kill a true giant. You know, they're difficult to hunt. Yeah. They're smart. It takes patience. There's a lot of different hunting tactics. You know, there's different hunting methods that can be used on deer. Everything from, obviously, stands, spot and stalk. You know, I like glassing. That's how I generally hunt mule deer. A lot of glassing is involved, which does take some patience. You know, but it's understanding the animal, their habitat, their habits, you know, where they live. That's the other cool thing with deer. And you could kind of argue this with elk, but generally speaking, like mule deer, look at around us here. I mean, they're everything from the desert to the highest alpine mountain peaks, everything in between.
Yeah.
You know, they live in some crazy places. And I don't know. They're just awesome to hunt. They're fun to chase. They taste good, regardless of what some people think. If you know what you're doing, I still think if you don't like deer, I'm sure there's some rare exceptions, but I have the firm belief that if you don't like deer, you're doing something wrong, whether it's through the care or the cooking or I like to cook, so I'm pretty adamant about that.
I will say that mule deer can taste very good if you kill them during the right time of the year. If you kill them at the wrong time of the year, they can have a little bit of stench to them.
They can.
I don't want to say stench, right? Just like an aroma.
Yeah. I think you could say that for elk, though, too.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, if you kill a ruddy bull, right, in the middle of September.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's more going to be probably a archery hunt versus a rifle hunt. Where, I mean, and in Utah, do you guys have many rut hunts at all, if any?
Not really. For mule deer, it's pretty limited.
Yeah.
Extremely limited. There's a few late season muzzleloader tags. There's a few hams hunts now on some. But, I mean, these are very limited opportunities, very few tag numbers. Generally speaking, the mule deer hunts in Utah are over by end of October.
Gotcha. Yeah. So that's where, I guess, going back to your point of, quote, elk are easier to hunt. With a lot of these over-the-counter tags here in Utah. And I mean, I think we can talk about most Western states, but here in Utah, right, you can get a over-the-counter tag and you're going to hunt them in the rut because you can get a lot of these archery over-the-counter tags, right?
Kind of in the rut. Utah is weird. They start in August.
That's true, yeah.
And they just recently, within the past 3 years, they moved the day back another week, so you can hunt a little bit into the rut, maybe the
kind of
19th, 20th, 21st, yeah. And they cut it off,
getting that pre-rut kind of into the peak,
right? So you get a little bit, but yeah, not full on.
I guess kind of going back to your tasting, right? Like, I guess if you're, you know, shooting with a rifle, more than likely it's going to be later in the season. Shooting a cow, you don't have to really worry about too much about taste. Okay. So that's opening statements. Like, what do you take away from his reason to hunt deer?
You can't compare a whitetail to an elk. I think you can compare mule deer and elk, but we gotta narrow it here.
What?
I think he's getting an unfair advantage, I think.
He didn't even bring up like coos or blacktail or...
Yeah, those don't count. I'll
even just go mule deer. That's fine. I'm good with that argument. But I think it's worth noting you've got tons of opportunity.
Right.
You got to recognize that.
Yeah.
Whitetail across the nation, gives probably more hunting opportunity than any big game animal.
I think one interesting thing that you guys talked about, and you both kind of hit on it, right? He said that he enjoys hunting elk because he's not patient. You said you enjoy hunting deer because you are patient and like to glass. I think hunting mature mule deer, right, or just trying to hunt big mule deer, is almost something that you age into. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like if you're younger, and for me personally, right, the whole reason that I moved out west was to hunt elk. I fell in love with it 12 years ago, or 15 years ago now. And it was archery elk hunting, chasing them, chasing bugles, right? Like, but it's that run and gun type of scenario, right? But as I've lived out here a little bit longer, again, obviously I've aged, but as I've lived out here, I've started to really enjoy hunting mule deer later in the season because, like you said, it is that glassing game. If you're hunting September during archery season, you're running and gunning, you're putting miles on, you're crushing your body, it's hot. Like, there's all of those things versus you start hunting them into that late October. For me, I can hunt them in the rut in Montana. But, you know, now it's starting to get cold. It's shorter days, right? Like, it's just one of those things, like you said. I think you kind of start to, as you mature as a person, you want to almost start trying to hunt tougher animals, and you get more patient as you mature as a person, as a hunter.
For sure. Yeah, and I think, you know, I look at just myself, and I'm no super accomplished, you know, hunter by any means, but I've killed some decent mule deer. I have killed one good bull elk, so I have some experience to speak to there, but I'm not a guy that's killed a bunch of elk. I'm not.
Yeah.
A lot of that has to do with just where I live, and right. I hunt out of state for deer, and I guess I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this, thinking through some of my notes. I do find it interesting because I could make an argument that, well, I haven't had the opportunity to hunt as much elk living where I do. There are over-the-counter tags in Utah, but it's generally either a spike hunt, which is on good units, what we call limited entry unit, but it's more of just an opportunity type hunt, a meat hunt. But they're still fairly low success hunts when you look at the data.
Yeah.
You know, there's cow tags, which I do that. We put in for antlerless, just good opportunity, good family hunts, good opportunity to fill the freezer, those kind of things I like to. Obviously, I work for a bull and ammo company,
right?
And I'm a gun nut, and so there's always something new, some new cartridge, some new rifle build. You know, for me, hunting is more than just the hunt. It's the whole thing with what gun am I going to use, what cartridge am I going to use, what bullet am I using, why is it configured this way? So that's all part of it for me.
Yeah.
But really back to what I'm trying to get at is I've always used the argument why you haven't had the opportunity to hunt big elk very often.
Right.
Utah, unless you're an archery hunter, and even then it's pretty limited opportunity, low success. But it's not like guys in Wyoming or Montana or maybe, you know, obviously Colorado, where there's a ton more elk.
Right.
You know, Utah has more mule deer than elk. But having said that, I have never gone out of state to hunt elk.
Yeah.
So apparently it's never been that high of a priority for me.
Right.
I'm building points in some different states. I'm kind of playing that game, but I've not looked for those opportunities to go hunt elk every 2 to 3 or 5 years out of state, where I do that for deer quite often.
Yeah.
So kind of something to think about. Maybe I guess it just goes to show why deer are better because I'm pursuing them more.
But you're on the other hand, you've hunted a lot of out of state elk hunts versus probably not as many out of state deer hunts.
They're maybe equal on out of state. I've killed elk in Montana, Wyoming, and Utah. Surprisingly not Colorado. I don't know what to do with Colorado. I think me and Greg are kind of the same boat. We have points, and what do you do?
Right.
Maybe 2027 is the year. Or we said 2026 next year.
26 next year. Yeah. We're hunting elk in Colorado.
We'll find a new product to test and go kill something. But
there you go.
I've done most of mine really in Utah because I can go out every year. And what was cool when I started is they had the multi-season tag in Utah, and you could hunt the archery hunt, and then you could move to the rifle hunt and then the muzzleloader hunt if you haven't killed. So you had three opportunities, and you could – as a guy, I was like you. I grew up in the Midwest, moved to Utah over 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know anything about hunting, elk hunting. So that multi-season, I could hunt a whole month for archery, and then I had over 2 weeks in rifle, and then I had another week for muzzler. So that's kind of how I learned to hunt. I was so bad, I just kept hunting, and then eventually you figure it out.
Yeah.
Even if you're a bad hunter, eventually you get lucky.
Right.
So that was really cool. Of course, they took that away now. But yeah, I've mainly done Utah, and Utah is definitely an opportunity state for the over-the-counter elk. I mean, they have awesome limited entry elk, and you can shoot big bulls.
Right.
But as far as over-the-counter go, it's not good.
Well, I mean, yeah, I agree.
I shouldn't say it's not good. There's opportunity. Depends on what you're looking for. You right. can always hunt, and you can shoot raghorns, but you're never going to shoot some 330 bull. You'll be lucky to get a 6 point. That's why I say if it's a raghorn, it's getting pounded.
Well, yeah. Even then, I think it's pretty rare. You know, if you really look at the success rates on the over-the-counter bull tags in Utah, it's pretty low.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're going out hunting over-the-counter public land in the state of Utah for big bull elk, you know, Mitchell is right. If you see a raghorn, you're going to kill it, because most people aren't even going to put eyes on a raghorn.
Right.
Yeah, you could hunt 10 seasons and pass up every raghorn. You'll never see a 6 point.
Yeah.
There's very few.
Interesting.
Yeah, I do need to go back, though, because I don't think I really answered your question good, and you brought up a good point with, like, the starting out and maturing.
Yeah.
And I think that is something to think about. You know, I look at my hunting career, and I definitely fit that. Like, when I started out, and a lot of it's, like, it's culture, too, right? You know, it's what your objectives are, what your goals are. But really, I think about when I was young, it was more like killing a deer, right? It didn't matter how big it was.
Right.
You know, it was more just the family camp. We all hunted. We had deer tags. And it was just, you were successful if you killed a deer. It didn't matter if it was a fork and horn, a little 2 point. You were, you know, super thrilled if you found some 20-inch wide, you know, two-year-old 3x4 or something like that. You know, that was pretty rare. And so it's definitely changed over the years as I've become, you know, more skilled, more accomplished. Again, not to say I've done anything great, but you start to find yourself looking for more challenges for sure.
Right.
And you obviously have more objectives of, you know, it's a balance though. I mean, I think we all want to say, hey, we're not trophy hunting, but at the end of the day, like, I'm not going out there just to go kill a deer, just to kill a deer.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy the meat. I like putting food on the table. I love cooking. I love that whole piece of it.
Right.
And there's times where in the end I end up just filling the freezer, but most of the time in the last, I'd say 5, even 10 years, probably 10 plus years for me, my goals have kind of shifted. I do find that I kill deer less often.
Yeah.
Because I am trying to be more selective, and it's difficult.
I would also assume, you know, kind of knowing a little bit of your background, right? You have kids, and more than likely you're probably trying to put them on animals more often than yourself.
Even. Absolutely.
So more than likely, like, they're killing some animals as well, right? So that probably helps you hunt for a more mature animal.
Oh yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, we're kind of filling the freezer with other opportunities, whether it's we're going to hunt antelope in Wyoming or we've got a cow elk tag or you're right, my boys drew a tag. We don't need 4 mule deer every single year in the freezer.
Exactly. Yeah. But in saying that, I mean, that kind of gives me a segue of one place that I did want to go that Mitchell brought up, more meat, right? So you would have to put 4 mule deer in the freezer to get to one of his, you know, raghorn bulls.
Yeah, this is true. I don't have much of an argument there.
I'll
bow out on this one. I'll let you win. that argument.
That to me, that's kind of a tough thing, right? Is that I will say that, I mean, as much as I absolutely enjoy hunting and I do it for the thrill of the hunt, the meat is a huge thing to me, right? Like, I mean, when I shot my bison earlier this year, right? Like, I had to go buy another freezer because it supplied me with that. And not only that, but we also like to share, right? Like, I give some to my in-laws. I brought some to Andy down here. You know what I mean? Like, I try to spread that wealth around. And luckily, I've got the opportunity as well as, I mean, you do too. You do, you know, like, we all try to hunt quite a bit. We probably hunt more than the average hunter, you know? So we do get those opportunities. But in saying all that, right, is like I try to think about things like that. It's like I can go kill one elk, or I can try to bust my ass and hunt three different states to kill three deer.
Yeah.
And I still don't have as much meat as one bull.
Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah.
I'll not argue that. But
with that, with more meat means more weight.
Yeah.
That you have to move from one place to another.
That's exactly what I was going to go with. Yeah. I'll make the argument for deer. The reality, and I've seen people get in trouble multiple times.
Yeah.
An elk is a big animal.
A big animal.
And especially a big mature bull.
Right.
I mean, a cow can be huge. You know, if you've never been up close to an elk and had it on the ground, I think there's even like people that think they know, right? Yeah. Like, oh, I grew up around hunting. You know, you might have had a friend or family or relative. Oh, they killed an elk. When you get that bull on the ground and you walk up to it for the first time,
yeah,
there's a little bit of like, oh no.
I had huge, I don't want to call it sticker shock, but essentially that, right? Like when I killed my first bull and I was by myself and I walked up on this animal, right? I'd killed 40 or 50 whitetails by this point. And I shot a bull elk, a mature 6-point, right? I walk up on this thing and I'm just like, what in the hell do I do now? Like I didn't even know where to start.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you probably had similar, mm-hmm. you know, reaction, if you will, when you killed your first elk out here.
Yeah.
After your 18th season or whatever that you were like running through all your different seasons to kill
first season.
First season. Okay. First season.
Yeah. I mean, I was same way. Grew up hunting whitetails and
yeah.
You know, you figure out, and then this was Midwest, so you'd shoot them, you'd gut them out, you'd throw them on the back of the four wheeler, and you'd take off. Well, I had no, I was like you, I was hunting alone, I was 3 miles deep, and I had an elk on the ground. I was like, oh shit, like,
yeah,
what do I do now? Luckily, I had an in reach, and I was able to text people to come help me, but I gutted that elk actually. I didn't even do the gutless method, and I didn't take the legs off it easier.
Yeah.
I had a whole hind on my back and the leg was sticking up like 2 feet. Dude. It added like another 15 pounds to it.
It's funny that he says this, right? Because exact same thing I did, right? I shoot this bull. He's laying on the ground. He's laying, you know, on one side. And the first thing, my reaction, I had just enough cell phone service that I could call back to my buddy's house that my stepdad was at. And he's like, I'm headed your way, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm bringing pack frames, all this, so we can pack it out. I killed it about five and a half miles in. But immediately I was just like, okay, it was October 2nd and, you know, still relatively warm, let's call it that, in the middle of the day, right? 65 degrees in Wyoming. And I immediately just start gutting it because I didn't even know that the gutless method existed at all at this point, right? It's 2010. I'm first time I'd ever been out west hunting, like for big game. And I gutted the whole animal. And I'm, you know, bicep deep in this elk trying to pull the guts out. And this old cowboy comes riding up. And he's like, what the hell are you doing? And I was like, to be honest, man, I have no idea what I'm doing right now. And he's like, you know, there's an easier way. And he ended up kind of like talking me through it. Of how to do it. And he's like, all right, well, he's like, you got some help coming? And I was like, I do. And he's like, all right, well, good luck. He's like, just get that hide off and, you know, start taking off the quarters, right? But to your point, right, it's just such a large animal. You don't know how to do it unless you've grown up around it, which you did, you know. Right. And I would assume that people kind of showed you, hey, this is how you should take care of a big animal like this when you have it down.
Right. And I guess that's maybe what has sometimes even kept me away from hunting elk. You know, everyone likes to be like, oh, I'm capable, I'm tough, I can pack out anything. But the reality is, like, that's a ton of work. It's a ton of effort. You know, and I don't want to sound like I'm lazy or a pansy, but I don't have pack animals. I don't have, you know, I have horses, I don't have mules, I don't have llamas, I don't have pack goats. And so it's like, I go kill an elk. I don't care if it's a mile off the road,
right?
Down some steep, nasty canyon. That's a ton of work to get it out.
Right.
You know, and whether you're calling people and pulling a Mitchell and getting on your little Garmin and, hey, I killed an elk, come help me.
Right.
Which is great. I mean, I've helped people pack animals out. I don't complain, but
yeah.
You don't want to rely on other people to help me get game out, but I can get a deer out.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to suck still.
Right.
You know, you put a, you bone out a whole mature mule deer, that's still a ton of weight.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're trying to do it in one trip,
right,
like for sure.
Right. But you can make multiple trips both ways. But like, yeah, regardless, like one or two guys, they can get a mule deer out pretty easy.
Right.
Getting an elk out, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. I mean, even for two guys, right, it's at least two trips.
Yeah.
Where with two guys and a mule deer, it's an easy one trip, yeah, right? Like splitting up and everything else. So yeah, that's definitely something to think about while you contemplate which way you want to go.
Like you said, on the two trips, the miles add up. You shoot a mule deer, say 8 miles, and that's pretty dang far.
Right.
That's really far. But one trip, you're only doing 8 miles out.
Right.
With an elk, multiple trips, that's 8 back to the truck, 8 back to the elk, and yeah, then another 8. I mean, that's dang near impossible.
It's definitely difficult. I shot an elk with my bow 2015, something like that, and it was right at about 4.5-5 miles, and it took me 4 trips of just back and forth. You know what I mean? Well, I packed one out the evening that I shot it, and then went in, and the next day it was 4 trips. And it's like you said, right? You think about 4 trips of 4.5 miles each way, right? Like that quickly adds up. What's that? 20 something miles, pretty mm-hmm. quick. 30 yeah. something miles, pretty quick. Well, I mean, it just takes time.
I think it's something if you're a new hunter, you know, you guys mentioned, you know, people that didn't grow up, they probably dreamed about coming out west and hunting elk. That's on a lot of people's dream list. I think, you know, a lot of hunters, maybe they've hunted whitetail their whole life. They want to come out to Colorado, hunt elk or whatever it be. I think it's something you got to think about. Like, we have to be realistic
right.
with our abilities, our, you know, expectations. And some of these hunts, I mean, in Utah, for example, you could be hunting elk in October. It might be 80 degrees.
I don't
care if you're at 9,000 feet, you know.
Yeah.
You owe it, you know, to be an ethical hunter, to be like, okay, where is this at? Can I actually get this animal out?
Yeah.
Can I get it taken care of before it gets spoiled or, you know, it's too hot?
And right.
It's just not to come off like holier than thou, but just something hunters need to think about is what can I actually handle? Don't get yourself in a situation that you're in over your head, and next thing you know, you got a whole elk down that's getting nasty and rotten and spoiled because
right.
it's baking in the sun and you don't know what the heck you're doing, and you're 4 miles in and you don't have a clue.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. What about, is there any like cartridge selection type of ideas that you have for deer versus elk?
Yeah. I think deer definitely is a little bit easier. It opens up more options.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, any 24 on up caliber. I mean, me personally, I like 6.5 and above, even yeah. for mule deer. I think anything 6.5, 270, 284.
You mean 6.5 PRC, not 6.5 Creedmoor, right?
Just in general, just caliber, yeah. But they work for deer. I mean, obviously, plenty of deer have been killed at the 243
yeah.
and smaller. I tend to like to have a little more extra than not enough, but
right.
and I think there's been plenty of people that could argue that, hey, I kill elk with stupid small stuff.
Right.
But generally speaking, it's not recommended. I think elk, you're going to need a little more specialized equipment, versus mule deer. You know, obviously there's still a lot of opportunities, you know, any good 270 on up
right.
is definitely capable of killing elk.
If you were hunting, Would you pick something different if you're hunting like mountainous mule deer versus like, let's call it plains desert mule deer?
Not necessarily.
I mean, I understand that you don't have to, right? But would you, I mean, just knowing that, let's say a mountain mule deer hunt, the shots could be a little bit far. I mean, I guess they can all be far, right?
But right. like it's more range.
Yeah.
I think what you said. Yeah. I mean, if I know, say like, for example, my kids, you know, if I'm hunting with them, I want them to have a gun that fits them well, that they can shoot comfortably,
right.
is accurate. You know, they're comfortable with out to 300-400 yards.
Yeah.
But if it's me and I'm hunting open country mule deer, I want to be able to have the capability, you know, and I've put a lot of time at the range and understand obviously the whole system, the ballistics, the end
right.
result, what is required to have, you know, an effective solution. But yeah, I'm going to probably step it up a little bit to where I'm more, you don't want to feel undergunned by
right.
any means. And so I'm, like I said, I brought up 280 Ackling Proof.
Yeah.
That's a big one of mine for mule deer hunting. 6.5 284 Norma. I've done a lot of mule deer hunting with that one. Those two have kind of been my go-tos. I've hunted a lot of deer with even a 3 and a Win Mag. I built a, kind of funny, because I built a, what I'll call more of an elk rifle.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I want to build more of an elk gun. And we came out with the 208 grain LRX. And it was really designed around the 300 PRC cartridge. But it's an awesome bullet. Great BC, functions great. It's accurate. And I was like, oh, I'm going to build a 30 cal to shoot this 208.
Yeah.
And I'll actually need to back up. So I, what I call my big bull elk that I killed, I've only killed one really good, you know, big bull elk.
Yeah.
When I drew a limit entry tag in Utah, I used a 300 Win Mag to kill that, just 180 grain TTSX.
Right.
Worked awesome. But I wanted to shoot this 208. And so I needed a faster twist rate. And so at the time I was putting together a 300 PRC for my brother as an elk rifle. And I like to be a little bit different. So I was like, well, at that time it was brand new. Brass was still kind of hard to get.
Yeah.
It was a little more expensive. I've got 300 Win Mag brass. I mean, endless options there. And so I was like, I'm going to configure a gun in 300 Win Mag, but do it with a 1-8 twist so I can stabilize the 208 grain LRX.
Yeah.
I build it with a carbon barrel, kind of a lightweight stock. Built it as an elk rifle.
Yeah.
I've yet to hunt elk with that rifle, but I've hunted mule deer with it.
Yeah.
In fact, I killed a mule deer in Colorado a few years back at like about 550 yards with that Win Mag and that 208 grain LRX. So it's never too much, right?
Right. Yeah. It's you can't over dead something, right?
You know, 208 grain LRX on mule deer at 500-700 yards. It's a pretty good option.
Yeah. Mitchell, what are you selecting for your go-to elk cartridge?
So I've shot a 6.5 300 Win Mag. I'm like, Greg, I gotta be weird and do something goofy.
Yeah.
So I killed.
I feel like that's just part of being in the ammo and bullets gun space.
It kind of
is that you always got to kind of build your own little weird thing.
Yeah.
So I've hunted with that, and I've killed six elk with it, with the 127 grain LRX, and it's worked awesome. Kills from 75 yards out to 600, never had an issue, even with the little light bullet, but it acts so tough. It acts a lot heavier than it is.
Well, and pushing at it, you know, with that 300, right? It's got some speed.
Yeah, I wouldn't do the same thing with a Creedmoor. Even a PRC at 600 on elk is
pushing limits.
So with that being said, I ripped the barrel off that rifle. It pissed me off one day, and it was gone. So now I'm building a 7 PRC.
Yeah.
You can definitely kill elk with the cartridge I did. I never had an issue. I never had one get wounded or maimed, and as long as I made a good shot, they all died.
Right.
But I still think bigger is better, which apparently in the industry right now, people say the opposite. They're shooting elk with 22 arcs and stuff, but just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right.
So I'm moving up to a 7 PRC and shooting the 160 grain LRX. And I think that's perfect. You know, Greg's shooting the 208, absolutely love that bullet. I actually bought a 30 cal barrel to build one too. Maybe not a Win Mag, but it's almost, I don't know if you need it for elk that heavy. So I wanted something a little bit lighter with a faster velocity, and that's where the 7 PRC does pretty well. It's only 160 grain bullet.
Right.
You're still getting a ton of weight retention. It's a lot heavier than what I was shooting before.
Yeah.
And I think it's more optimized for elk. The 6.5 300 is a great deer rifle, and I killed elk with it, but I'm going to bump up.
Right. Okay. What is Jess going to shoot for her hunt?
She's going to shoot that 7 PRC.
7 PRC.
I told her it's her rifle, so I can justify buying it.
That's why he's building
it. Buying it or building it?
Building it, yeah. But it's got I got a Manor stock, their Pro Hunter, and it's got a Arca rail right in front of the mag box. So I'm going to set her up on a tripod.
Nice.
And get her locked in. So it is a lot for her.
Yeah.
But it's also, I'm going to use the crap out of it too.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. What else do we need to discuss? Here's a question. Do you have a elk tag or a deer tag in your pocket for this year?
Multiple deer tags.
Okay, multiple deer tags. Do you have elk or deer hunts planned for this fall?
I got both.
What do you have more of?
I only have I have one of each actually.
Plus
Jess has an elk tag. So I have two elk tags.
There you go.
And two deer tags. Jess has deer tag too. both drew dedicated.
We're not counting our deer tag. We're only counting our elk tag for this podcast.
But you're going to be hunting elk with her tag because it's a limited entry draw. I'd say that's probably your focus, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, we both have deer tags. I have an over-the-counter. I guess I don't technically have it yet, but I plan to.
Yeah.
But yeah, the focus right now is just scouting, finding a big bull for her. So it is the year of the elk for me.
Okay.
That's all I'm focused on. Anything else is a bonus, but that's my priority.
So here's one thing I'll bring up from an argument.
Okay.
Elk versus deer. For me, I've always kind of been like, and again, I've killed a pretty good bull. It's not a giant, but it's a respectable, it's a good 6x7. Good mass, really cool bull. Do yourself, public land, Utah. It was limited entry, draw tag.
Yeah.
Score wise, it's just shy of 360. Pretty decent bull.
Yeah.
I'm fairly satisfied with that bull. Would I want to go kill a bigger bull? Absolutely. Do I want to go kill multiple bulls? Yes, I do. Like, I would love to go kill a 320 bull, right? But I'm pretty satisfied with that,
mm-hmm.
with that one elk. I've killed a handful of good deer. You know, 160, 170, one pushing 180. I can say I'm probably never going to be satisfied with either. Like, I got to break 200. And then once you do that, it's like, well, I got to go bigger. Like, there's, I don't know. For me, I could have 20 mule deer on the wall in that 160 plus range.
Yeah.
Like, and that's like my goal is more. Where at the elk, it's like, I got one big bull on my wall. I'm pretty good. I'm satisfied. So I don't know. Something to think about.
What do you think?
Do
you just want elk racks just everywhere?
Okay, I'm going to make an argument for Greg. Elk take up way too much space.
I mean, not if you put them in your garage or something like that. Get
fly poop on them and dust.
I've got multiple and I don't have any fly poop or anything.
It's dust. It's the pack goats.
Yeah.
I don't know. They bring the flies.
But we got 9 euros in the house. And like I got 2 on the ground because I don't have room.
And elk euros?
Yeah. And Jess has another tag this year, which is pretty high success. It's a limited tag. I have over the counter, which who knows. But, I mean, what do you do with them?
They do take up a lot of room.
You can sell them. No. A lot of people in Utah do that, don't they?
Utah people are weird. I shouldn't say I'm from Minnesota. That's
probably worse. I don't think I'd go there.
I don't have room to talk.
No, it is like you can fit a lot more deer, obviously.
Right.
I think though, like, I'll make an argument for Mitchell. In the moment, with a bull screaming, you're in the mountains.
Like, something different about it.
It is something different. It's cool.
Yeah.
That part is cool.
Yeah.
You know, and you obviously don't get that with deer.
You have that kind of. I mean, I guess you can. Not to the screaming effect, right? But I know we're mainly talking mule deer here, but like, you know, I've been in the whitetail woods and having big mature bucks chasing does, right? And grunting and kind of roaring or, you know, bucks fighting or something like that. And like, that still gets you pretty fired up.
Yeah.
You know, I will agree there's something very different about when a bull elk is bugling in your face at 15 yards or 30, I mean, even 100 yards, right? When he's coming up over a hill and screaming, it's the hair, you know, it's like, I feel like I'm listening to a damn dinosaur, you know?
It is so pretty cool.
It's definitely different. Okay. What are you going to bring on our mule deer hunt this year for a rifle?
I don't know. I might do something different.
Have you hunted Montana for mule deer?
I've not hunted Montana. Okay. It'll be first for me.
Do you want to do a mountain hunt or a plains hunt?
I'm good for whatever.
Okay.
I just want to go where the best opportunity at a big deer is.
At a big deer?
At a big deer. No, just I like seeing deer. I don't care. Like, obviously I'd love to go kill a big deer, but just I'm an opportunity too. Like, I've had plenty of hunts where you hardly see any animals.
Right.
And they're great. Like, there's times for those, but I like to see animals.
So okay.
Even if they're small, and I'd rather pass on them and be like, oh, that's okay. We got to see animals.
Yeah.
They're cool to watch. They're fun to just see their movements and how they act, and they're fun to glass. And I don't know, I might do something new. We got some cool new stuff in the works.
Yeah,
I'd like to say I'm gonna bring my 280 Ackley, but I have killed a fair amount with that, so I might try something different.
Yeah. Jess is gonna shoot the 7 PRC.
Yep.
Okay. What's the any other debates here? Has anybody swayed opinions during this podcast?
I saw Mitchell make a note, so he had something to say.
This is what I will say before we do this, right? Is I want to turn it to the audience and ask them, like, what would they choose? I want them to leave a comment. We can do a little poll type of thing on, you know, Spotify or whatever. Or leave a comment, like, what would you choose if you only had one tag to choose to hunt this year? Would it be elk or deer? And then I'm going to ask you guys, what do you think that the majority of our audience would say, elk or deer?
I would bet people say elk. Because I think out west, I bet most people are going to say mule deer. But everyone out east, like 100%, are going to say elk.
Right.
Because that's, like I said, that's how I grew up. I shot whitetails. I came out here and I had the opportunity to shoot mule deer. It's just a deer. I've already done it. They look a little bit different.
Yeah, a little bit bigger.
You want to know what's funny, though? Growing up in Utah and being around a lot of people that have hunted their whole lives, most people in Utah have never killed a whitetail. So it's complete opposite from what you guys are used to. And, okay, it's just another deer, but they're different.
Right.
I've known a lot of people and heard of multiple times where it's like, oh, I want to go kill a whitetail.
Right.
Because they just have never hunted a whitetail.
Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, like, I did that with coos deer a few years back, right? Like, I mean, it's still a whitetail, but it's a different subspecies of whitetail. So I was like, well, I have to go do it. At least, like, try it, right? So, yeah, I can complete, and I'm going to do a, you know, Sitka blacktail hunt this year. So, again, it's still a deer, but I still want to.
I want to hunt coos deer bad. They've been on my list a long time. I've never hunted them.
You should definitely go do it. You know, I don't know how much of an archery guy you are. Obviously, I know you're a gun guy, but do you have points in Arizona?
I don't. Both my boys do, though. I'm going to have to hunt in Arizona, like, vicariously through my boys. They've got, like, multiple points.
Yeah.
Almost too many
points. You could go to Mexico?
So. Could. Let's go.
I got a contact now. I was down on the honeymoon, and this guy didn't speak a lick of English.
I thought we were going sheep hunting with him.
I need to go sheep hunting.
He didn't speak any English. I didn't speak any Spanish. And I was just like showing pictures like deer and elk. And we were both like, he's showing me pictures of these huge mule deer. And we're both just like excited. We didn't know how to talk to each other.
But he invited you down, even though you don't speak a lick of English.
He hasn't invited me, but it'll happen.
Oh.
Yeah.
You still like texting him? Do you just do like the translate on your phone when he texts you back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hook us up. We need some desert mule deer, coos deer, and sheep while we're
out. Yeah.
Dale's going to fund it.
Yeah.
So one last argument I will say with elk.
I didn't even ask Greg yet if he thought what the people were going to choose.
You know, I'm going to actually side with Mitchell. I think when it comes to the populations, most of those people are going to be whitetail hunters, and they're going to say elk. But I think if you worded it trophy mule deer, like big mature trophy mule deer,
I'm just saying,
which one is it?
You have a tag in your pocket. You can kill a trophy if you hunt hard enough.
They might say elk.
All right, go ahead and make your final final argument.
The weather is a big thing. Elk hunting, bow hunting, you're gonna be in September.
We're a rifle manufacturer, or a bullet and ammo manufacturer.
Early October, we rifle hunt. Rifle season is pretty pleasant. You can get snow, but generally it's perfect. It's not too cold yet. It's kind of lows in the 20s and 30s. Highs are anywhere from 30 to 50. And it's pretty dang pleasant.
Yeah.
And generally those deer tags are later in October, even stretching into November. And it can be just dang miserable. Cold, a lot of snow. And that's really when the weather comes in. So generally,
I could also argue that I can flip that around, and we can talk about what we talked about on episode 4 about killing an elk on Thanksgiving when it was negative 24 degrees out. What about that?
That's uncommon. That's cow elk hunting.
I could have killed a bull.
There's like
it was
season,
still open.
There's like season I guess
I'm thinking a lot of Utah.
Yeah. You got to think of other states, man. Utah's not the only one out there.
It's still bad.
It might be the best for hunting, but, you know, it's not the only one.
It's not the best for hunting. It's definitely, I think Montana's the best. I think everyone should move there.
Yeah, everyone move to Montana.
Colorado.
Go to Colorado.
That's the place to be.
There you go.
I derailed his argument that quick.
I don't even know where you're going with it.
I derailed his comment. He was going to say that the weather is better to hunt elk. So basically he's a fair weather hunter is what he's telling us.
Yeah.
That he would rather have these mild temperatures.
See, and I would argue
blue
that,
skies.
I would come back with, and I haven't even talked about this.
Cool.
Most of my successful, not all, but most of my successful mule deer hunting, especially in Utah, on bigger deer is actually muzzleloader.
And that's later.
It's actually earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, it used to be later, way back when it was November, but they've moved it to September, probably the last 25 plus years.
It seems like, I've done a few early season mule deer hunts. I killed one with my bow like September 2nd or something one year. And I personally would rather hunt deer super early in the season than I would hunt them in late or later. Especially that mid-October, late October.
It can be tough.
A big mule deer is not moving at all until does come into estrus and everything else, right? So, like, that's where that sitting, glassing, being patient, knowing that a big deer should be somewhere around. But he might only move an hour for the entire day because he's just conserving that body. You know, it's like his reserves and everything else because he knows the rut's coming.
Yeah.
But you look at that early September time frame, right? And they're still in their summer patterns. Like, to me, they become much easier to hunt at that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and so here it's like it's more late September into October, but it's a good time to be out.
Yeah.
So your argument's nothing. You've got nothing.
Other than then it's hot.
It can get hot.
Yeah.
It can get too hot.
So.
But I've been on rifle mule deer hunts at the end of October that are too hot, too. So.
Yeah.
Or third season Colorado, where you convince yourself, this is awesome. I've got a tag with a rifle to hunt mule deer
and then
in
you
November,
get there.
And it's like 80 degrees.
Yeah.
That's usually how it goes for me.
Me and Greg had the same tag, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was...
It was stupid.
Third season, first week of November.
Yeah.
And it was, like, highs of 60, 70, full moon. Nothing was moving.
It was not a good hunt.
Yeah. I mean, I've had hunts like that, you know, in the Midwest, like hunting whitetails, right? You're convinced that you need to be there from the 4th through the 10th or something, right? Because I should be right there before the peak of the rut and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you get there and it's 65 degrees and raining and it's like, this is absolute shit.
Yeah.
You know, so happens. All right. Is that your final argument?
Sure.
That got derailed.
Okay. Here's one last thought.
All right. One last thought.
Everything else aside, like ignore every other thing we've talked about. You're walking up on the animal. Which one would you rather walk up on? Ignore everything else.
A big bull elk all day long.
Yeah.
Big mule.
Big. I mean, I have not killed a big bull elk. I mean, my biggest elk is 305 or something like that, right? But I've killed quite a few that are, I mean, I haven't killed anything under 280, you know, so,
yeah.
But I've killed quite a few. I've been pretty successful when I actually like hunt them hard, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mess around for a couple of days every year and it's more of like, you know, I'm at that point now, kind of like what you're saying about with big mule deer, that if I'm going to shoot an elk, like I want to shoot a big elk. So I'm kind of pushing myself, you know, like last year I hunted 4 days in September with a bow and I had a 270, 280, 6 point come walking up to 15 yards. But I was looking at like a 325, 330 at 300. It's like, I can't shoot this bull when that bull's there.
Yeah.
But it's funny, like mule deer, like especially with Montana, right? Like, I'll normally go out for 3 or 4 days and I don't mind shooting just a 3-point or something like that. Like, I still try to look at maturity,
right?
But I would go ahead and fill my deer tag and not try to shoot, you know, just a raghorn or whatever. I mean, I might try to go shoot a cow like super late if it gets down to that, but that's a side point. What were you going to say? Big bull elk is what your choice was?
Yeah, big bull elk. You walk up on it and like your arms are outstretched.
Yeah.
If you shoot like a big one, yeah. It's your normal, right?
I mean, a lot of times you're like this, right? Yeah. With your spike. Yeah.
But yeah, like you're coming up on an elk, it's just, I don't know, what's the average size of a Western, like weight, live weight is
over 650. Yeah.
It's a big animal and you got the horns and your arms are outstretched. And then
you got horns or you got antlers?
Same thing.
Okay.
You try to tip it up and it's hard.
He's from
Minnesota. Yeah. You're trying to prop it up for a picture and you're using all your might and you can't even move it. And it's just a big animal with big antlers. And, that is cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say one more thing.
You're going to pick elk too?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm going to pick mule deer, but elk are cool. I like hunting elk. I need to hunt elk more than I do.
Yeah.
I don't have excuses. I just need to go hunt more.
Right.
I will say this. This is arguing the elk side. I've said how much better mule deer are the whole time, but I'll put this in there because my wife will be happy if I do. According to her, I designed my house around my elk mound. So there is that.
Because you have a high ceiling.
Yeah.
Or like a nice little peak or something.
Yeah, it's vaulted. Yeah. And I kind of did. I built like this whole wall. There's a rock wall and like a log. And there's a spot for it above the stairs. And so I kind of did go all out for a place for my big bull elk. So.
Yeah, but you could replace that with, you know.
Giant mule deer.
Or a full body sheep mount.
We can talk about sheep if you want to talk about that. Let's go there. Sheep are my
ultimate. I mean, I think if we went to sheep, right, I think everybody's going to pick sheep over other species more than likely.
It's true. But there's just obviously it's out of reach for most of us.
It is. It's pretty tough.
Someday.
All right. Anything else? Why did you get your pack goats? To pack out mule deer or elk?
Definitely the elk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is the part I don't like about elk hunting. It's you get them down. I hunt alone a lot of the time.
Yeah,
it kills you, and it's you can do it when you're young,
right?
And I can still do it, but
yeah, I can't. I'll be honest. I don't have the best back. No, like I've already had a back surgery.
Yeah, that's
I'm true. Not that old, and right. but it sucks. But like the reality is like. I've had it happen. Like my boy drew a youth any bull tag. It's a draw tag in Utah. Yeah. It's general tag, but it's a better date. They get a hunt with a rifle in September. And I'll be honest, at that time that year, I was like a year out of surgery and we were on the mountain and like it hit me hard where I was like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
I got like this 14-year-old kid and he's great, but he's a small kid.
Yeah. I mean, 40, 50 pounds is a lot
right.
on
and
a
it's
kid.
Like, the reality is hitting. You're like, what are we even going to do if we kill one?
Right.
You know? And so I'll be honest, like there's times where that holds me back.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to get pack goats.
You should.
Luckily we have the goat father. He'll have babies here soon
there
for you.
Go.
So all right, guys. Well, thanks for your time today. I hope everybody enjoyed our elk versus deer podcast. Remember to drop us a comment, let us know what you think you would want to pick if it's elk versus deer. Also make sure to follow along with us and leave us 5 stars as a review. Thanks for listening.